Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I haven't preached on it for a long time, but and I'd like to begin with verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. That righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching out toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Philippians very well could have been the last book that Paul wrote. So Paul is coming to a place where he is going to be beheaded. He's coming to a life that since the Damascus Road experience has been amazing. And now he's writing to the church at Philippi with a message. It's a message to a man who has served God, a man who has suffered for Christ, a man who laid down everything he could and would eventually, in a little while, lay down his life. And he's coming to a place of realizing there's more. Oftentimes, we come to a place in our walk with Christ, and Stephen said it good, very well today, where we think this is it. This is the answer. This is what I'm looking for. I've been a youth pastor from 67 to 70. I was a senior pastor since 71 until 2017. I've seen it all come and go. I've seen the movements. I've seen the things that people get excited about. They jump into something and it lasts for a little while and then they go on to something else. Paul's focus was one thing, one person, one goal. It was Jesus Christ. And Paul was saying, whatever's happened in my life, whatever I've gone through, and whatever has benefited me, I count as rubbish. I count as garbage. Some of your Bibles will say I count it as dung. And we need to understand something. We never reach a place where some doctrine, some teaching, something takes a place of Jesus Christ. Our focus is constantly Christ-oriented. Bible-oriented. The Bible teaching us about Christ is the answer. And Paul knows that. And so he looks at this and he says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. How much about knowing Christ is of value to you? How much of coming to a place where my life is all about Jesus Christ is of value? Paul says it supersedes everything. Paul comes to a place where his total focus is on Christ. He says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and a life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ has to be everything, and everything else comes underneath him. And when we come to a place that my personal goals, my personal objectives, my personal things rise up to a place where they overshadow Jesus Christ. And I know we don't like this, and we kind of have a little idol that is on our minds and in our hearts besides Jesus. We miss it. We miss it. And the focus of our lives has to be Christ. And he doesn't stop there. Let's look at what he says. He says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, or not having any righteousness that comes from works. You get nothing out of works compared to righteousness of Jesus Christ. I get nothing out of doing what I'm doing. Unless we're doing it for Christ. If we're doing it for personal attention, if we're doing it for personal goals, if we think we can earn something bigger than just plain rewards that God is going to bless us with, we miss the point. Because nothing you can do without the Holy Spirit is going to bring value. Just not going to happen. So Paul says in verse 10, now verse 10 is very interesting. Because I don't know how old he was. Somebody said 60. Stan must know. How old was Paul when he died?
62.
So I'm not sure what he was when he died. But I do know one thing. He had a relationship with Jesus Christ that was beyond amazing. And so Paul comes to the time of just being beheaded, and Nero would cut his head off pretty soon, and says that I may know him. But Paul, look at what you did. Paul, look at your life. Paul, take a peek at what's going on. And Paul says, that's not it. In fact is, he says, I'm going to forget about all those things that I did. I'm not going to look at the victories. I'm not going to look at what some people would call defeats. I'm not going to look at my argument with Barnabas. I'm not going to look at John Mark. I'm not going to look at any many other things. But I want to know Christ. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Knowing God, not knowing about him. There's a lot of people that know about God. They have scripture knowledge. They have background. But they've never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ where he is Lord. So it doesn't say, I want to know about him. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Now look at me. You may put Jesus Christ down on the ladder of importance, but one day he's going to be the most important one you've ever heard about.
That's right.
There will become a day when he'll say, enter in or depart from me, I never knew you. And that would be tragic. So Paul is looking at his life and the many things he did. Let's compare some things. He preached the gospel all around the Mediterranean Sea. He started churches all the way in Asia Minor. He suffered and was stoned and cast out demons and raised the dead and healed the sick through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now he's coming to a place of saying, I want to know you, Jesus. My most valuable thing that I can have is a relationship, Paul says, with Jesus Christ. What is your most valuable relationship? What is my most valuable relationship? And Paul doesn't stop there. He said, not only do I want to know him, but I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Now keep in mind something. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will bring life to your physical body. You feel a little weak in your physical body? You know, I don't call myself Caleb. I'm not 85 yet, but I do want that mountain. Jerry was showing me where Moses' eyes wasn't dim and Joshua or Caleb wasn't dim and they were doing these things in their 80s. God wants to give you strength. He wants to give you life. He wants to encourage you. He don't want us to look for the next wheelchair and just sit and spend the rest of our life in it. He wants us to live. He wants life to abound. Amen. He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. He wants you physically well. But he doesn't want you sidetracked. He wants you understanding the power that he can bring to you and make you well and give you strength, because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He wants us walking and living and enjoying this life until the end. I'm not interested in spending 2 years in a coma. You say, what are you talking about? Some people end their lives that way. I'm not interested in having my mind come to a place where I don't know you folks. But there's no reason why we can't live out this life in health. Amen? Amen. The power of his resurrection. And then Paul says, I want to know him. And I'm going back to my King James roots, but in the fellowship of his suffering. Did you know something? The Bible says all who are godly will suffer persecution. Am I just make that up? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we're joint heirs with Christ, and if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. He's not talking sickness. He's talking persecution. But there are things that people do. And not that we're looking for persecution. That's not the issue. The issue is don't be afraid to do what God calls you to do, because there could be persecution. Somebody may misunderstand you. Really? Did they ever misunderstand Jesus? Did they ever misunderstand Paul? They misunderstood 11 of the 12 original disciples and 11 of the 12 died, but one did it himself. But John is the only one that survived. They killed the other ones. So when we talk about knowing Christ, we have to be prepared for the stand that he calls us to take and be prepared for what we're going to go through. Boy, you're shouting nice. This is exciting, isn't it? He talks about going through the suffering with Christ, and he also talks about knowing him in his death. Interesting. Christ's life was absolutely amazing. Think about it. He challenged the religious leaders of the day. He dealt with all kinds of sickness, all kinds of suffering, all kinds of pain. He dealt with death. He taught 12 guys who didn't even believe who he was for a while. His own family, it's John 2 or John 4, didn't recognize him as being the Messiah. The Bible says his own family didn't believe in him. Well, that must be John 7 when he went down to the feast. He walked through that life knowing that his purpose was to present the Father to people and reveal that and die. And finally he did. But it didn't end there. Then he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Taught his disciples, opened their understanding in Luke chapter 24 so they would see him as he had told them he was and what he was going to do. And then he ascended into heaven after he told them to go to the upper room and stay there until you be endued with power on high. It's quite a message. So Paul comes to the end of his life and says, I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. How many would list those as the things and the way you want to know him? It's very interesting. So then Paul comes back to himself. And he says this, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. So he comes to a place where he says, there's still more. I'm not as yet fulfilled the calling of God on my life. I haven't yet come to a place where God is taking me. I made up my mind of one thing, and I don't know why as you get older you talk about the past a lot. You don't have that problem yet. I don't want to spend the rest of my life of looking back to the 90s and the early 2000s and the Mexican journeys and Canadian journeys and thinking that's all of life there is. The victories that I have in Jesus Christ, I want to be current. Amen. You know, you can look back and that's a problem with revivals today because the previous revival usually condemns the present one and tries to find fault with it. And someone says, well, you know, when I was in there, they didn't do it that way. Well, praise God. There's advancements. And so there are changes that happen. We need to be prepared for what's coming. And we need to understand that God is not just satisfied with us coming to church. Amen. There's a deeper walk than coming to church. There's a walk in the Holy Spirit as we leave this place. We come to encourage one another. We come to help one another. We come to assist one another. And we move on. We grow. And God's not telling you to force yourself to grow. God wants you to let Him lead you into spiritual growth. And Paul understood that. Paul understood that life was more than what happened yesterday. And your life, as with mine, is not back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. If you're still living back there, you need to get forward and move out, because the next verse says he wants to press on. It's hard to press on when you're looking back and being hindered what used to be, whether good or bad.
That's right, amen.
We need to take some steps for today and look forward into tomorrow. Not that I'm living there. I have to live today. And what happens today will encourage me for what's going on tomorrow. And we just keep moving. I want to see this town transformed. I want to see my life go deeper. I want to see the power of God changing people's lives because of Jesus Christ. And we need that. And so Paul looks at that and says, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I'm putting every effort to keep on moving. I know there's more. How many of you think you know all about God? So there is more you can learn. And there's more I can learn. And we can learn together.
That's right.
But we have to be willing to learn.
Yes.
We have to come to a place of realizing we're not there yet. There's still more. Mm-hmm. I'm moving on. And then he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward. I'm not going back. One of the worst words in the Christian faith is backsliding.
Yes.
What does that mean? It means I'm going backwards.
That's right.
Paul says, I'm not going backwards and I'm not standing still. I'm moving forward. I don't want to be like the old guy. Well, I am the old guy. I don't want to be like the old guy that was standing in his living room when his niece, his granddaughter came over, and he started to walk for the kitchen, and finally he turned around and looked at her and said, honey, am I moving? I don't want to be there. I want to be pressing on like Paul. I want to move into something that God has established. I'm not just taking anything new. I'm not just grabbing something new. I want transformation. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see lives changed by the power of God. I don't want to talk anybody into salvation.
That's true.
I want the Holy Spirit to do it.
That's right.
I want the power of God to move in this place, that when people come in here, they sense there's something different.
That's right.
But I want you to have real experiences with God. I want you to have biblical experiences that transforms our life from level to level, from glory to glory, from power to power.
Amen.
And you know something? A transformation can bring heaven to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we step into those gates, it's not a cultural shock. It's just saying this is the fulfillment of what we've been experiencing on earth. This is the fulfillment. This is the God thing that we've been looking for. This is the experiences that God, you brought to Sisseton, South Dakota, when you opened up the windows of heaven and poured out a blessing that we couldn't contain. And now we really can't contain it in heaven. And so don't look at yourself and say, well, that can't happen to me. Your world changers, your mountain movers, because of Jesus Christ. You are people who've been touched and anointed by God Just don't start looking that something could be better. There's nothing better than Jesus Christ. We've heard of building altars and stepping forward and walking this out and living it to the fullest. And that's where God wants you to be. Where they can bring their friends and see him born again and see him saved and transformed by the Spirit. I want to see a body of Christ that we just honor Jesus. We just honor him. And there'll never be a time in the history of this world where people don't need Jesus. Just won't happen. I want to see your needs met. I want to see that God supplies all your need according to his riches and glory. I also want to see I can go through and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to see the marriages functioning for the glory of God. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. And I want to see our young people, as they do get married, find mates that are full of the Holy Spirit and yes, serving Jesus Christ. That's my goal. That's my goal.